What's new at Cold Wax Academy? You can now join the membership program on a month-to-month basis with full streaming access to all of the great features offered, including Rebecca and Jerry's full-length video workshop and Jerry's mentoring message and 12 essential lessons. Monthly memberships means lots more flexibility for you. You can try the program out for a short time or take a break when you need it. Live sessions will continue twice a month, along with favorites like painting clinics, critiques, and guests. And as always, everything is recorded and available in the member library. And there's more exciting news. Rebecca and Jerry have just announced the first ever online international exhibit of work created with Cold Wax Medium. All styles and formats are welcome. The juror for the show is Dan Addington of Addington Gallery in Chicago. To learn more, go to coldwaxacademy.com and click on the Call for Art button. While you are on the website, check out all the information about Cold Wax Medium and how you can join the monthly membership. Once again, that's coldwaxacademy.com. That's all for now. On with the show. Hello and welcome to The Messy Studio with Rebecca Kroll, the podcast at the intersection of art, travel, entrepreneurship, philosophy, and life in general. I am Ross Tickner, Rebecca's audio producer, podcast guru, and her son. On today's episode, we are talking about boundaries and new directions. What sorts of boundaries do you put around your studio practice? What new ideas are you willing or not willing to explore in your work? We all have limited time and energy, so how do you decide where to focus? Which new materials, media, or directions are worth pursuing? It's part of learning to sometimes spend time and resources on things that are off track and don't really suit you. And a basic openness to change and growth is a really good attitude. But letting yourself be pulled too often in different directions can keep you from committing to deeper involvement. Today, we'll talk about boundaries that are useful and encourage growth, along with thoughts about those that are either too tight or too loose. With me, as always, is Rebecca Kroll.
Hello, everyone. So this topic came to my mind after I was talking with my friend and my partner at Cold Wax Academy, Jerry McLaughlin. And he's considered himself primarily a painter using cold wax medium and oil and some additives like ash. But recently he was on an artist residency in Mexico City, and he started to expand his work to include 3D pieces, installations, and a lot of experimentation with materials. And on the surface, if I say that, it could sound like somebody who's kind of scattered, but it's really the opposite. And I find that interesting. His basic concerns and ideas are not scattered. I mean, he's been doing this for a while. They're very strong and clear. And he came to a point where he's excited to explore something new, some new media, some new directions, new ways of expressing basic ideas. And that's why I wanted to talk about this idea today, because that idea of expanding from a base of ideas that's really solid is interesting. And now, you know, he needed that base. We all need that base to get the ideas to the solid place. But then that can be loosened up and explored. And I just wanted to read a bit from the statement that he wrote about the exhibit that he had at the end of this artist residency. When I arrived to El Sur, that's the name of the residency, I thought of myself as a painter working with beeswax, ash, and oil. During the residency, I wanted to focus on materials and materiality. I planned on making paintings with concrete, tar, plaster, ash, urethane, rust, and wax. What could I do with these materials? What could those materials do? I wanted to test ideas of texture, color, layering, and mixing. And so just to say at this point that Jerry's work has featured strong physical texture for quite a while, and monochromatic and neutral colors, minimalist compositions. And he's used concrete and ash and sand and other additives in the past, exploring the material aspect of, you know, what these things could do. So what he was doing at the residency is a way of focusing on that one aspect and aspect of his work and developing it. So like extracting something specific in his ongoing work, and then exploring that, expanding that. And I just think that's a great example of how you can expand from a base of ideas into new territory, because you're rooted in something fairly specific, that, and then you can explore, you can, you know, blossom out from there. And that conversation made me think about these boundaries that we put around what we do. When do they make complete sense? And they give you more focus, and they help you develop. But they keep you from being scattered. But when is it also good to let go of some of those and, you know, go into some new phase of your work that is related? So I think, like a lot of things in art, there's no one size fit all. This is one of those, you know, individual balancing acts that we talk about so much. Boundaries that are too tight, too loose, or ones that are, you know, kind of pointing you down a road that's really interesting thing to explore. And I would say there's a lot of, you know, when you think about, well, you know, should I pursue this thing that's kind of interesting to me? There's a lot involved, I think, with gut feeling. Sometimes you just know, like, this idea is really striking a chord. On the other hand, something might come up, some opportunity, some workshop or something, and you think, no, you know, that's really doesn't seem like me. And you have that clear idea, no, I'm not going to go there. But sometimes it's harder to get that. And, you know, bottom line is any change in your work is going to take time, it's going to take energy, it's going to take, you know, maybe some new materials and tools and resources. And so that can be a barrier, or it can be a useful boundary. I think another part of ourselves that enters into this, you know, how do we respond to these opportunities, is personality. And I mean by that, like, who are you emotionally or intellectually? How do you approach new ideas? And are you somebody who avoids change, even though it might benefit your work? There's a lot of people that don't go there, you know, stick with the tried and true. On the other hand, you could be somebody who's drawn to novelty and new things for their own sake. Anything new is exciting and pulls you in. And if that's the case, sometimes you might have trouble sticking with something, following through and being committed to something long enough to, you know, really get somewhere with it. Or, like a lot of people are, you know, maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You're in a good place. You're open to new ideas and change, willing to follow through on things that seem worthwhile. So there's a big range. And I did, you know, I think it's useful to talk about, because, you know, I do talk to people in workshops and so on that they say they really don't have a focus. They feel like, you know, every time something new comes along, they're intrigued by it, they jump on it, and they want to follow it. And then another new thing comes along and end up being pretty scattered and basically lacking clear priorities about, you know, what are their basic ideas? What are they really interested in? So there's this distraction, and it happens a lot in the art world because we're always looking at new materials. We're looking at other people's work that seems interesting. You know, there are all these workshops and online stuff and Pinterest. And, you know, artists are getting a lot of input about different ideas, and it can be great and stimulating, or it can just spread you way too thin. And I wanted to say a couple of sort of disclaimers before I go on about how that can be kind of a bad thing or a difficult situation to be in. If you're just starting out with art, you really don't know what you like and what, you know, what you want to pursue. Well, then that is the time to try a lot of different things. That's what, you know, people who go through art programs in college are going to take lots of different things to expose, you know, what's going to take hold. Is it going to be sculpture, painting, printmaking? You know, what direction, what style, all these things. You know, it's good. It's good to be exposed to all that. And I would also say there are artists who really thrive in this kind of realm of creating a lot of diversity in their work, a lot of different kinds of things. So, you know, I've been to exhibits where the artist was working in painting and 3D, and there was a video installation, and there were, you know, all these different things. But the way that that works, and it's really a kind of a conceptual way of approaching your work, you know, all these different ways of expressing an idea, the reason it can work is because there is an underlying idea. I mean, it's not all these different things that have different meanings and thoughts behind them. They're kind of just different threads of the same or similar expression. And that can be very rich. It's a challenging way to work. And it is, like I said, quite conceptual. But if someone is doing that and working in those different media and stuff, they are developing it. They have that focus. And so it's not, in order to make it, you know, good work, developed work, there's still a time of focus on each thing. So that's not very common. And what is a lot more common is a sense that artists have, they don't have enough focus. They're too scattered and they see it as a problem. And they're not, you know, kind of, they're uneasy about it. Because if someone says, oh, what's your work about? What do you do? And they really can't say. It's just, it's hard to say because it's all over the place. And that might be somebody who's been at it for quite a while, but that, you know, that personality type that is always drawn to the new thing, the next thing, you know, the bright, shiny object that they haven't yet tried. and that's distracting. And I think if I could characterize that situation, it's basically, there's not a connecting thread there to pull things together. It's just this kind of scattered, trying different things, but there's no base to it, or very little base. Sometimes there is a base and the artist just doesn't quite recognize it. And that's a time to look at your work and say, what is pulling all this together? You know, that can really help your focus.
So I think that in identifying where you lie on this, it's going to be particular to the individual, and it's just going to require a lot of really serious kind of introspection and self-analysis and honesty. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Am I the kind of person that is too scattered and lacks focus, or am I the kind of person that is rigid and stuck and unable to try new things? And the only way to figure that out is to really look at yourself and maybe to talk to people who you trust, who can give you honest feedback in terms of mm-hmm. what they see you doing. You know, but that's the only way that you're going to determine, okay, is where do I lie on this spectrum? And try to make adjustments. You know, it's mm-hmm. going to require critical self-analysis.
Yeah, and what you might find is not just, oh, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. I'm too rigid or I'm too loose. It really might be that there is some core there. I mean, all this stuff, if you're doing a lot of different things, it's all coming from you. And so part of that looking at yourself can be, what is that? What's kind of the bottom line here? What's my really strong core focus, my intentions? And that's a great thing to discover. That's very liberating. But it does take some looking at your work, and it can fly under the radar for sure. And I've taught people where they tell me they're very scattered. And when we really look at their work, their past work, their present work, sometimes there is something that I can see and I say, oh, I see that you're really interested in, you know, pure abstraction focused on shape. I see that over and over. And they're saying, oh, really? Well, I didn't quite get that, you know. So it's a process, like so many things. This thing about jumping around a lot, I mean, I guess you could ask yourself, am I sort of a tourist in the art world? You know, am I always just traveling and never settling down? And it can be avoidance behavior because you just don't want to commit to something. And sometimes the phrase that people say is, oh, I'm exploring things. And you know, that's a positive word and it's an important word. And there's a case to be made for exploring as a good thing, especially, you know, when you're starting out. But if you think about that word exploring, like in a superficial way, it can mean I'm trying a lot of different things. I'm like trying everything and this smorgasbord of creative delights, you know, having a little of this and a little of that. But I was thinking about the word and I thought there's actually a different meaning, a deeper meaning to it. Because if you think about true explorers out in the world, maybe outside of the art world, and you think of somebody exploring a scientific idea or maybe somebody exploring a part of the world or something like that, the people doing that have this sense of purpose. They have commitment to kind of a narrow field of interest, you know, that they're going deeply into, and that gives them direction. And so if you think about somebody doing that, like say somebody's going to climb a mountain, you know, and explore this mountain that maybe hasn't been explored before, I wouldn't expect that, you know, next month or next year, they're going to be doing something completely different. They might, you know, try a different mountain next time, but it's within the realm of their interests. And to me, that's real exploration. That's going deep. And it's the same for an artist. I mean, we are explorers, and exploring within boundaries, in the end, it's going to take you further in your understanding and in your skills.
Let's take a quick minute to look at what deals are available from Blick. Utrecht Artist Imperfect oil paint tubes and cans are now 65% off. Blick is clearing out imperfect tubes of Utrecht Artist oil paints. This is your chance to stock up on these professional quality oil paints at incredible sale prices. Limited quantities available while supplies last. All sales are final. Prized by professionals for their brilliant color, rich texture, outstanding light fastness, and excellent long-term performance, Utrecht has been handcrafting these fine artist oil colors in Brooklyn, New York for over 50 years. High pigment concentrations guarantee superior tinting strength and remarkable vibrancy straight from the tube. These are the same high-quality Utrecht artist oils that you normally buy. They're just tubes and cans that have been dented during shipping or handling, and they're just not quite perfect, but it's the same high-quality paint inside. To get the imperfect Utrecht artist oil paint tubes and cans at 65% off list price, please remember to use our affiliate link, which is, of course, messystudiopodcast.com/blick. That's messystudiopodcast.com/BLICK. That takes you straight through to the regular Blick website. But when you use our affiliate link, then Blick will donate a very generous 10% to the Messy Studio Podcast, which really helps us to pay bills around here. So once again, that's messystudiopodcast.com/Blick. All right, let's get back into it. I think that maybe a good way to think about this is instead of thinking about what am I drawn to, you know, what's easy for me, it's like what makes me afraid? You know, what is difficult for me? Is it hard for me to try new things, or is it hard for me to commit to something? And if we really want to push ourselves, you know, we should be that's the way to push yourself is do what's difficult.
Yeah, good point. And we know that. We know that intuitively as people. We know that question that you're posing there, which one is harder to jump into something new or to keep yourself in focus. And they're both challenging. And, you know, and really the balancing act is to be open to new things, but also to have that steadiness to you. And that's kind of the ideal that is, yeah, you can get there. But I think you're right. If you recognize those things in yourself, that's a first step. And, you know, there's really practical aspects to this, because if you think about taking on new stuff, I kind of touched on this, everything you try that's new takes time, energy, often expense, because you have to buy new stuff. And, you know, how do you know if it's worth it? And I thought of some questions that you could ask yourself. And one of them is it just that I want something new? Do I just love that novelty, you know? Or what is the potential that you see that this new thing could add to your ongoing work? Do you feel solid enough in one kind of work to branch out, you know, something that you feel, you know, you're good at this, you're deep enough that you can branch out, giving things some time? Not seeing something great on YouTube and going immediately to order new supplies and try it, you know, sit on it for a while, see if it's going to appeal to you down the road a little bit. And that's true for workshops and stuff too. Sometimes, if you just let it simmer for a bit, you'll know more if it's something right for you. But also being open, saying, okay, here's a workshop. I don't know what the results will be if I take it, but I'm willing to try it. And that's that point where you just kind of got to know yourself.
So have you been through this recently at all? I mean, have you tried something new and either it seemed like a really good fit, or, you know, you're like, oh, well, I tried that, you know, and it didn't really work.
I haven't really, but what I would say was, there are things that I'm drawn to that I never seem to find the time to really focus and devote to them. And I have, you know, I have a printmaking press. I don't spend a lot of time with that. And I, you know, it's sort of a reckoning in my own brain of, well, should I even have that? You know, and always in my mind, oh, someday I'm going to do that. I don't think that's a bad thing, because I'm recognizing that if I try to get into that now, it's not the right time. That's another aspect of this. I mean, you could be interested in something, but it's going to happen later. It's not going to happen now. Something came up yesterday. I had some art friends over, and somebody was looking at work on paper that I did, who's a sculptor, and he's saying, you know, this would be really interesting if you got into sculpture and you could use this idea. And, you know, he was like excited about it. And I thought, I had that sense of, yeah, that would be interesting. That would be new and novel. But it's not the right time for me for that. I just don't have the focus for that. And I think artists are always kind of having these back burner ideas. And then the question is, when does that move to the front of the burner, you know, front of the stove? When does that thing that's been simmering become important enough to really devote time to? And that's not always easy to see. I can understand why people get drawn into a lot of different things. There's so many great things to get involved in, and some of them are exciting just because it's a great process, or, you know, the material seems interesting, and, you know, it's wonderful. There's a lot of things to get excited about, for sure. But
do you ever think when somebody brings that up, they see something that, you know, and say, oh, you could go this direction with it? Do you ever think, well, maybe you should do that? That was your idea.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing I thought of when I was talking to this guy was, that would be an interesting collaboration, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like if he did the sculpt, he's a marble sculptor. If he made a marble sculpture and then I painted on it or something, you know, that would be an interesting collaboration. So it was like this little spark of an idea, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Back burner, though, for sure. And, you know, before we run out of time, I wanted to talk about the other side of this, which is when instead of having, you know, very few boundaries, like anything goes, you're too rigid. You don't want to try new things. And if something comes to your brain, you immediately turn it off. And why does that happen? Different things. I think there's a challenge, of course, in taking on new stuff. That it's just isn't going to be right. It isn't going to be good for you. Or, you know, you're going to buy a bunch of new materials and they're going to go to waste and that kind of thing. Sometimes people have a very comfortable place where they are. They're known for a certain kind of work. It's quite defined. They're very good at it because that's what they've been doing. And maybe, you know, successful selling it. And yeah, it's hard to move away from that, even in an experimental way, if you feel that you've got it. But you may feel this sense of boredom, you know, I am just repeating myself kind of idea. So some artists in this situation are going to be pretty tight about what they do. Like they might say, well, what I do is, you know, I make these, let's just say realistic life-size portraits using oil pastel. I'm just pulling that out of the air. Okay. That's very defined. And that doesn't allow for a lot of room to move. But I think a lot of people are a little bit looser than that. You know, a lot of people are in the place where the same artist, if had a looser attitude, might say, well, I paint figuratively or I work figuratively. And it's always 2D, it's never 3D or something like that. And that's, you know, those kind of boundaries seem more open. They seem like they offer more possibility. And I think an interesting way to see what your own boundaries are is, how do you describe your work? You know, do you describe your work as in a way that is pretty open-ended, or is it this, you know, more rigid definition? And if you do have a, you know, you have a boundaries, you have your boundaries, but they're flexible, they're open-ended, you're going to be growing. I think you see that. You see change in your work over time. If you look at your work and you're really doing the same thing you were, you know, a few years ago or longer, and it's so similar, no one could tell the difference, and there's been nothing in between, I don't know. People are different. Some people are okay with that. Other people might feel a sense of frustration or boredom with it, but not be ready to move. And there's some fear there. You know, I don't want to change. As you were saying, some people have trouble changing. So it is that importance of knowing yourself, your personality. What aspects of your personality are weighing in here? You know, is it all about the art, or is it something else that's holding you back? So really that point of, is this new thing in my head going to be helpful or not? Really goes back to what I was talking about, you know, at the beginning, with talking about, you know, the example of Jerry with a strong base of ideas and then branching out and being very excited about that. This is opening up doors that, you know, he hadn't predicted. And that's wonderful, but that's being aware of what you're, you know, where it's coming from, what's your base, what's your core interest, And just recognizing, well, whatever that is, there are different ways to express it. And, you know, some sense of this idea that I'm having is connected. There is a pathway forward from this idea into something that's new and exciting.
Well, do you have any final thoughts to wrap up this episode?
Well, I was going to quote my friend Lisa Pressman, who has something she says to her students, and that is, what else have you got? And I like that because the emphasis is on what else. You know, it's kind of like, where do you go from here? Not something entirely different, but where else can you take this? And that's exciting. You know, that's a point of departure that's pretty interesting. And I do think it's a challenge to find that balance of being open to new directions, new ideas, new processes, and also being committed to certain things. But that balancing point is also really exciting, and it's really rewarding if you do find that balance, because you're heading in a direction, but you're open to surprises and you're open to new things. And there's a really good energy to that. So this is all just kind of food for thought. If you sense that either you're pulling in too tightly around a certain thing, or you're not tight enough, you're all over the place.
All right. Well, that just about wraps up this episode of The Messy Studio. For more from The Messy Studio, please go to messystudiopodcast.com and sign up for the email list. You can also find The Messy Studio on Facebook, as well as Rebecca's public profile page. For more from Rebecca Kroll, check out RebeccaKroll.com and Cold Wax Academy at ColdWaxAcademy.com. Be sure to sign up for the email list to stay up to date on events, book signings, and openings. For more from myself, Ross Tickner, check out RossTickner.com. The Messy Studio is a Tick Digital Media production. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again with more art and entertainment. Until then,
embrace your creative space,
messy or otherwise.
Thanks, everybody.